You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Here in New Jersey, home of the Northern Trust. And we've got a great little setup here right on hole 15. If you're heading out here, we've got some big names that are going to be teeing off. The guys, of course, that are at the top of the leaderboard, big names like Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Schauffele, Tony Finau, and John Rahm, who's at the top leaderboard right now at 12 under. So we're at the Beer Garden. It's right here by hole 15. It's pretty cool. You've got the Beer Garden next to the Meiomi Wine Garden, next to the DraftKings gambling tent, next to. It's just number one. It's just a beautiful, beautiful venue out here. Unbelievable tournament, of course, as I've been talking about it for the last 2 weeks. Your 125 best golfers in the world come here to New Jersey, to this golf course, to compete. It's the first leg of three tournaments. The next one takes them to a course called Caves in Baltimore, Maryland. And there you'll have the 70 best players. Here you've got the top 125. And then those 70 will compete to try to get into the top 30. And the 30 will compete in Atlanta 2 weeks from now. And the winner will win $15 million. And so this is the first leg. And so it's just a great atmosphere out here. And I kind of feel like somebody pinch me, right? Like this is my first live remote since the pandemic hit. And so it's been quite a while. It's been quite a while, A, since I've been in our studios, first and foremost. And then B, just to be out here at a live remote and so many people, and it's such a great venue. And it's really exciting. So hopefully you're heading out here. Maybe you're listening to 98.7 ESPN right now. The weather's gorgeous. Hopefully the rain is going to stay away. I know that's one of the biggest storylines right now, is Tropical Storm Henry looks to hit us at some point in time tomorrow, and will be with us through Sunday. So not sure what the tournament is going to do then. We have Julie Tyson, who's the executive director of the Northern Trust, who's going to pop on with us in the 1 o'clock hour to kind of give us an update what their game plan is. I've been here for about an hour and a half, and everything that I'm hearing is that they're not going to play tomorrow because weather conditions are supposed to be pretty bad. I mean, some reports out there is 75-mile-per-hour winds and 3 to 5 feet surges. So, that then one wonders, because this is a golf course, as we know, it's right here on the water, Liberty National. Not sure what the golf course is going to look like after that type of storm. So we'll see what happens. Not sure if they'll be able to be back in action on Monday or not. But we'll get the latest with Julie Tyson around 1:15 this afternoon. Also, Abe Anser just came off the golf course. I'm looking at the scores today. Abe Anser, he's 7 under. He's on 17 right now. So not a bad round. He's 8 under overall. So he's tied for 13th. And I just got wind that he might be calling into the show. He might be joining us, which will be really nice. Once he gets off 18, they're going to try to get him to call into the show, which will be nice. Abe Anser, he won the FedEx Cup. So he's coming off of his first win, which is exciting for him. And obviously trying to better his situation in his standing in the FedEx Cup so that he can get the invite to head to Baltimore, Maryland next week and play at Caves. And like I said, then the third leg is in Atlanta for the Tour Championship. So 800-919-3776. Phone lines are still open. We'll take your calls throughout the show. Excited to again be out here live at Liberty National. We're going to talk Yankees. They are just on a roll. So we'll talk some Major League Baseball this first hour. Also, we'll switch gears. We'll talk some Jets. We'll talk some Giants. Preseason games number 2, which, of course, the NFL, as we know, they changed. It's only 3 preseason games now as opposed to 4. So a lot of NFL teams who are playing their starters have decided to use this week. And we saw 2 games last night, right? We saw Kansas City and the Cardinals and Cincinnati as well. And so they're using this in Cincinnati and Washington. And so they're using this week as a quote-unquote dress rehearsal. So because there's only 3 preseason games, a lot of teams are using this game as if it is the third week. And then next week, I'm sure, will be a lot of the third and fourth string guys that are competing for a job. So we'll dive into – Steve Verderosa is going to join us at 12:30, former scout for the Giants, was with the Giants for a ton of years. And now he's in media. So we're going to break down the Giants and the Jets, his thoughts about them heading into the season. And then, as always, Saturday, we've got Joe Wiz, who's going to join us with his picks and his plays for today. Two big races in Saratoga, race 9 and 10. He always likes to talk about the horses. And Rob Domofsky, who covers the Green Bay Packers for ESPN, is going to join us at 2:30 this afternoon. I thought it'd be good to get him on the show. What can Jets fans expect later on this afternoon with the Jets taking on the Green Bay Packers? I was texting with Rob yesterday, and he does not expect Aaron Rodgers to play at all. He also doesn't expect Jordan Love to play because Jordan Love suffered a shoulder injury. I don't think it's anything significant, but apparently do not expect those two guys to play. And Rob said he doesn't expect a lot of the starters to play. So what does that mean for Zach Wilson? Because really, let's be honest, that's the big storyline. Besides Carl Lawson, unfortunately tearing his Achilles in the practice session with the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, that's the biggest storyline this week. But when it comes to preseason games, obviously, Zach Wilson is it. And Jets fans were very, very happy with what they saw against the Giants in week one. But got to keep it real. And the Giants, they did not play any of their starters on the defensive side of the ball. So Zach went up against number twos and number threes, but still looked good. Loved the way that the ball came out of his hand. And you could see the athleticism shine. You could see why Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh fell in love with him, for sure. And so it's going to be an exciting afternoon, I'm sure, for Jets fans to see what he can do in preseason game number two against the Green Bay Packers. 800-919-3776. Let's dive into some Yankees talk, why don't we? Because this is a Yankees team, 10-2 against the Twins last night. Luke Voit just has been unbelievable in 6 games, 3 home runs, 11 RBIs. And I know the story out there is he went to Booney and said, hey, listen, I deserve to play. I deserve to start. I want to be in this lineup. I'm feeling good about myself right now. And sure enough, he is. Had a home run and 4 RBIs last night. Cortez, great on the bump. 7 innings, only gave up 2 hits and 7 strikeouts. So where does this Yankees team sit right now? They're 4 back to the Rays. Right, they're 4 back to the Rays in the wild card, and we were talking about this when the deals got done, and Cashman was able to make those money moves, as I like to call them, as we got closer to the trade deadline. I was all in on this team, and there's a number of people who called into the show. Anita, slow your roll, relax, you know. And Ty's producing the show back in the studio, by the way. Ty, if you recall, what did you tell me? You said you want to be cautiously optimistic. And so I guess my question right now, and I want to open up the phone lines because I was all in weeks ago. Right? And maybe that was a little dangerous. And maybe it's a lot easier for me to be all in when I'm not a quote unquote fan, right, of a team or an organization. I liked the moves that were made. I was excited about the feel of the club, that you got the sense that because the Yankees were active and attractive and really aggressive and went out and you know, did not try to trade players, but went out and tried to make this club better. You know, it brought new life, new energy into that clubhouse. And I was excited about it. But now, based on what we've seen the last few weeks, man, since July 6th, this Yankees team is 29-11. They're on a 6-0 homestand right now. And again, they're 4 back to the Rays. So 800-919-3776. Just curious, you know, where, as a Yankee fan now, are you still cautiously optimistic? Are you waiting? You know, because there are some negative Nellies still out there waiting for the floor to drop. You know, waiting for, this is a little bit of a mirage. This isn't reality. We're going to come back down to reality soon. Or are you all in? Like I was a few weeks ago feeling, all right, this team, this makeup, even though, and again, the pitching rotation, You don't have the two aces. And Gerrit Cole, by the way, is back on the bump today, 11-6 with a 3.04 ERA. But what I love, and I know we talk a lot about the moves that Brian made, and not that him and I are on a first name basis, that Brian Cashman made, and what that did for the club. But I don't think enough is being discussed and talked about in regard to the rookies, and not even rookies. I call them rookies because I talk football all the time. But you know, the guys that came up from the minors, that had to come up because there were a number of guys that were on COVID. You know, they were on the COVID list or they had contracted COVID, and they could, and that excitement, that delivery, that, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, how they were able to contribute above and beyond expectation, And so it's, I feel like it has been the perfect storm for the Yankees, for sure. And, you know, and again, like going back a few weeks ago, we were talking about, like, you know, the question mark was, did you feel that they'd be able to get into that wild card spot? Did you feel that they would at least get in as one of the two wild cards? Well, right now they're at the top. Of course, you've got Oakland and the Red Sox right on their coattails. Both those teams, 70 and 54. But now is the topic. Now is the conversation. Screw the wild card. Is the conversation now that you feel that the Yankees can win this division? Only four back from the Rays. And I know that a lot of people still feel the Rays is the best team in the American League East. But gosh, you've got to love what you've seen from this Yankees team. I like to use the phrase, check all the boxes. And sure enough, that's what they're doing right now. 800-919-3776. We come back, we'll take your calls, we'll talk Yankees. And also, again, Steve Verderosa, former scout for the Giants, is going to join us this hour. Excited to get him on. To talk about the Giants and the Jets, and again, broadcasting. Hopefully you can hear it in my voice. I'm just thrilled to be out here. It's a beautiful day out here as well. Coming to you live from Liberty National, home of the Northern Trust, and we're at the Beer Garden.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
He's a good player. I mean, and a good hitter. So, you know, and it's been, you know, he's lost a lot of at bats dealing with different injuries this year. So I know that part's been frustrating for him. But, you know, when he's in the lineup, he's a really good hitter in this league. So, you know, whether it's, I'm sure everyone's going to draw every conclusion like everyone always does, that it's because of this, it's not because of that. He's a good hitter. He's a good player. And, you know, he's gotten some big hits for us here over the last week, and a big night tonight.
That is Boone, Aaron Boone, talking about Luke Voit. Again, six games. He's hit three home runs and 11 RBIs. Last night he had a home run and four RBIs. Dude has just been on fire. There's no denying that. And listen, I don't have a problem with a player going to a manager or a player going to a coach and saying, hey, listen, I want to play. I feel like I'm deserving to play. I feel like my game is on point right now. And I know that you went out and you brought in Rizzo, you brought in Gallo, but I'm deserving. It's kind of, you know what he kind of reminds me of is this week, Andy Dalton came out and said, you know, I know Bears fans are really excited to see what Justin Fields is going to do for you and do for this organization and do for this team, and I'm cheering for him. But right now, it's my time. It's Andy Dalton time. I don't think Bear fans really – I don't think Bears fans really appreciated that comment, but, like, I respect it. And I believe we have the clip of Luke Voit and what he did say to Boone. Let's listen in.
Yeah, you know, I'm fine. I feel like I'm hitting my stride, you know, after, you know, getting a week's worth of games under me. And, you know, I was top 10 MVP last year, and I've been a great player for this organization for the last 3 years. And, you know, I'm not going down. You know, I want to play. Obviously, I know it's going to be tougher with Rizzo, but, you know, I deserve to play just as much as he does. And, you know, I led the league in home runs last year, and I feel really good again. And, obviously, you know, the injury bug is the reason he's here, you know, because of me. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I hope Boone can do whatever he can to, you know, try to get me some consistent at-bats.
You know, here's the thing. I mean, he touched on it. You know, athletes staying healthy is part of the equation. I talk about this a lot on my show. Athletes who get injured a lot of it is hereditary, right? Like, there's so much that goes into staying healthy. Yeah, you as an athlete, it's a huge commitment. It's a huge commitment with time. It's a huge commitment in regard to, you know, your nutrition, how you eat. It's a sacrifice. You know, some of the best athletes out there that stay healthy, like the Tom Brady's, right? Eating avocado ice cream, doesn't let his dog sleep in bed, doesn't drink alcohol. Of course, the one time we did see him drink alcohol, he was throwing a Lombardi trophy from yacht to yacht in the Tampa Bay Bay. So it's that, yes, and going into whatever club with your organization, even on your days off, to you know, make sure that you're getting all the service you need. But on top of that, it's also a good portion of it is hereditary. So, and that really is the biggest concern when it comes to Luke Voit. I've never questioned his contribution, his game, what he brings to the equation for the Yankees. But staying healthy is another. And if you cannot, you can't blame Cashman. You can't blame the team going out and needing to bring in a Rizzo, because you can't, you know, how long will Luke Voit stay healthy? You just don't know. There's no guarantee, especially when there's a track record there. 800-919-3776. Ty, I want to bring you in here, you know, and again, we'll take calls in just a second. And by the way, I know we were working on getting Abe Answer on the show. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He had 6 birdies on the front nine, and then he triple bogeyed 18. And so, unfortunately, the media rep here at the Northern Trust said, he doesn't want to do any media. He just triple bogeyed 18. Listen, I don't blame you, dude. Especially, I mean, he was rolling, and then you triple bogey your last hole. I don't know if I'd want to talk to the media either. So we're hoping to get another pro golfer on with us. I'll let you know who we get. But Ty, I want to bring you in because, again, I know you're a big Yankees fan, and I'll go back to a few weeks when these deals were made and I was all in, and I was geeked up and I was pumped up, and you know, you were producing the show and you said to me, you need to slow your roll, cautiously optimistic. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I'm curious, based on you know, how we've seen this Yankees team perform in the last few weeks, you know, are you dancing to the beat of a different drum?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, look, as a fan, sometimes you get too emotional. You don't want to go too crazy over a couple of wins. But the Yankees, as you mentioned, since July 6th, their last 40 games, they've won 29 of them. On this homestand, they're 6-0. They're 19 games over 500 and only 4 games back of the Rays in the division. They're number one in the wild card right now, so they would be hosting that playoff game against either the A's or the Red Sox, whoever wins the number two spot. But, yeah, I mean, you have to love it because the lineup it more circular. You got Gallo and Rizzo in there. You've got this kid, Velasquez, who's just come out of nowhere. And you're still not fully healthy with Torres coming back. And, you know, you just got Cole back and Sanchez. You just got him back. So and Chapman just returned. I know he struggled the other night, had to be pulled. But you just feel like when this team finally gets healthy and everyone's, you know, back from COVID and injuries, that they're going to be a force. And, I mean, the Rays still scare me because the Yankees have had trouble with them the last couple of years. And then we saw them lose in that opening series and the division series in the playoffs last year, even with Gerrit Cole on the mound in a game 5. But you feel pretty good. You do got to feel pretty good.
You know, it's interesting you brought up COVID, and I know I did just a second ago, because it has been something that the Yankees have had to deal with this season. And I had Christy Ackert on last night. I filled in for Chris Carlin and Christy Ackert from the Daily News, and she came on, and we were talking about COVID. And apparently, you know, there's guys that are on this roster for the Yankees that aren't vaccinated. And apparently there's other guys in that clubhouse that are like, come on, dude, like, we're going to make it to the postseason. Like, get vaccinated, you know, because we can't, you know, we can't really risk it. You know, it's one thing, you know, it's a long season, the regular season. We know what time it is, right? Like, ebb and flow to the season. And look, I mean, just pure example, what's going on with the Yankees right now, right? But once you get to the postseason, you know, I guess teams that are more vaccinated, that have a higher percentage of players. This is another thing we were talking, and I apologize. I forgot who the Yankee media rep person was that we had on the show that was covering the team. And he kind of alluded the numbers, the percentages that Major League Baseball gives you, like when they say, oh, well, 80% of the Yankees are vaccinated, that includes, like, the marketing department and the sales staff and the executives. When Major League Baseball gives you the percentage of the players of the organization that's vaccinated, it's all-inclusive. It's not just the guys who wear the uniforms. So, which I think is somewhat deceiving. So you really, you know, you don't know what the exact percentage is of the players within the clubhouse, the players that play night in and night out. You don't know what that percentage is. But, you know, it's you and not that we will. But my point is, as we get into the postseason, you know, I think it's an interesting conversation to have for those teams that do make it into the postseason are the ones that have the majority of the players that are vaccinated. And not to throw the gambling term in here, but you know, would you more so fade the team that doesn't have the majority of its players vaccinated? So I'm not sure. And again, that was news to me, and we found that out last week. And so not sure if I find that to be quite interesting. So when an organization tells you the percentage of people that are vaccinated within that organization, it's all inclusive. It's every employee. It's not just the players. Food for thought. Just throwing that out there. 800-919-3776, the phone number. We come back, we'll hear from Steve Verderosa, former scout for the Giants. We've got some preseason action happening. I love the fact, by the way, that the Jets are playing today and the Giants are playing tomorrow. Not sure if Daniel Jones is going to play tomorrow. I know Joe Judge came out and said he's not sure if Daniel Jones is going to play at all this preseason. I know a lot of head coaches and general managers and organizations are valuing more so the joint practices that they're having. As we know, the Jets joint practice with the Green Bay Packers this week, and then now, of course, they take them on around 4 o'clock this afternoon in preseason game number 2. For the Giants, they were in Cleveland. Same thing with the Cleveland Browns. And then they will face the Cleveland Browns tomorrow on Sunday. So, but teams are valuing more so what they're seeing from their starters in those joint practices than they are in real game situations, which I find kind of interesting. So we don't know if Daniel Jones is going to start or not. We'll find out, I'm sure.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Right now, Corey Connors is just, I mean, lighting it up. He is 9-under today. And, tied the course record at 62. Jordan Spieth did that yesterday with who else? Somebody else tied the record at 62 yesterday. Hold on one second. I need to give credit. And Shoffley. So Shoffley and Jordan Spieth also shot 62 yesterday. Unbelievable. So 9-under today. He's 12-under. So he's top leaderboard tied with John Rahm. But John Rahm hasn't even hit the links yet. He tees off at 150 in about an hour with Tony Finau. So we're hoping to get Corey Connors on the show. I'm texting with the media rep, by the way, and there's a possibility that he's going to call into the show at the top of the hour, which would be great to talk to him. Man, can you imagine shooting 62 anywhere, let alone here at Liberty National? So how does the leaderboard look? Again, Corey Connors and John Rahm tied at 12, but John Rahm hasn't teed off yet. He will tee off with Tony Finau, who's 11-under, and both of them tee off around 150. Cameron Smith, 5-under through 8. Man, everybody's kind of tearing up this course today. So he's 10-under, along with Shoffley and Justin Thomas. Sam Burns, 5-under today through 10. He's at 9-under total with Shane Lowry. Both of them are tied at 8. Kevin Na had a good day yesterday, shot a 66. He's tied for 8th. He's 9-under. He tees off at 1:30 this afternoon. Jordan Spieth, boy, like I said, 62 yesterday. I'm excited to see what he can do. He tees off in just about 8 minutes, and he is 8-under, so he's tied for 15th. Very interesting. Him and Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka, as well, is 8-under. He had, like, 4 putts yesterday of, like, less than a foot that lipped out, and Brooks Koepka shot a 64. Brooks Koepka could have shot a 60 yesterday. In all honesty, he had like 4 putts within like a foot that lipped out. So I put money on Brooks Koepka this morning because he plays as well as he did yesterday, but yet those putts don't lip out, then he'll be able to tear this course up. Again, this is your leaderboard update brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Shop with the pros at your New York or New Jersey area. PGA Tour Superstore is the home for golf pros and beginners. 800-919-3776. Again, we just heard from Steve Verderosa. Let's talk about this Jets preseason game today. I was texting with Rich Cimini, who we know of course covers the Jets, and I'm more excited to see Elijah Moore play than I am Zach Wilson. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but you know, Carl Lawson and Elijah Moore, what we were being told, were the two stars of camp. Unfortunately, as we know, I know the biggest storyline is Carl Lawson tearing his Achilles, and what that means for this Jets defense, not only in regard to him being used as, you know, the number one edge rusher to create havoc for opposing quarterbacks and opposing offenses. So obviously the front seven, the defensive line, the front seven, their rushing attack obviously takes a hit, but also this hurts the secondary. And you can definitely question the secondary. You can definitely question the corners. A lot of times, a good pass rush is an excellent deodorant for a subpar secondary. And so, you know, the loss of Carl Lawson isn't just a hit on the defensive line, but it's also, I believe, a hit the defense as a whole, and specifically the secondary, because we, you know, where are the Jets going to recoup that type of pressure, that type of edge rusher? I mean, you know, obviously one of the biggest names that the Jets were able to bring in free agency. And, you know, here's another thing. I know we're talking about an Achilles injury with him, but he's had some other injuries before. He's had some knee injuries. So I go back to, you know, what I said before. We were talking about Luke Voit and the Yankees. You know, big part of staying healthy as a professional athlete is genetics. And so you've got to have some concern there as well. But interested to see what the Jets do on the defensive side of the ball. I think that, you know, they're going to use this game, this preseason game, to work in some of those other defensive linemen to see, you know, who's going to step up, compete, have an opportunity to fill a huge void of Carl Lawson. We'll see what happens. So I'm interested. Also, obviously, I've buried the lead, and we know really the big storyline here is Zach Wilson in preseason game number two. Now, preseason game number one, we saw him go up against the Giants. Again, Giants, we know, didn't play any of their starters. So Zach Wilson went up against a lot of, you know, second and third string defensive linemen, but or defensive players. But at the same time, even though it was against a subpar, you know, group of players for the Giants, I still really liked what I saw. You know, the plays that were scripted out, okay, very simplistic. You know, there wasn't a lot of risk taking. There wasn't a lot of risk plays for Zach Wilson, but I liked the way that he executed, right? I liked what I saw in regards. I liked the zip on the ball. I liked the way that the ball came out of his hand. I liked his accuracy. I like how he led receivers. Even though one might say, well, you know, it wasn't against the best competition and yada, 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 I still think, you know, what I saw and I think what a lot of us saw and what he was able to do in the short period of time that he did play, I feel it was really positive and really optimistic. So I'm curious how long does Zach Wilson play today against the Green Bay Packers? And again, we're going to have Rob Demoski on the show at 2:30. He covers the Packers, so we'll get the latest. I'm hearing that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play. Jordan Love's not going to play. Some defensive players aren't going to play. We'll find out from Rob when he joins us at 2:30. But regardless, you know, I'd like to see a full half of Zach Wilson, to be quite frank. What are your expectations for Zach Wilson this afternoon? 800-919-3776. And like I said, Rich Cimini, I was texting with him earlier yesterday, and he said Elijah Moore is expected to play. Now, I know he's coming off of an injury, so is he going to be on a pitch count? Will he play a series or two? Regardless, if everything we're hearing is that he's the star, he's the stud, so electric at training camp, I want to see what he can do this afternoon. So I'm really, really excited to see this game later on at 4:30.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click.
Click, click, click.
Or don't. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
Welcome back. It is time for Click or Don't Click. It's a fun way that we tour around our wide, wide world of sport and find out what is trending based on the headlines. Ty, our producer, leads the way. He asks if I if a headline intrigues me enough, where I will click it or pass by it. So, Ty, what is trending right now around, what time is it again? 1:42 p.m. on this Saturday afternoon.
Is it back to World Series or bust?
Oh, of course I'm clicking that, and I have an idea that it has everything to do with the Yankees.
It does. The Yankees, who right now are in action with their ace on the mound, Gerrit Cole, they are in the bottom of the second inning at Yankee Stadium, first and third, two outs in a scoreless game as the Yankees look to improve to 7-0 on this current homestand. They won last night 10-2. Nestor Cortes Jr. was fantastic in seven innings. I believe it was only four hits and two earned runs. Yankees now 29-11 since July 6th, 19 games over 500. We've come a long way since fans were calling for the jobs of both Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. So now leading the wild card, that number one spot, just four games behind Tampa, still in it for the division. Is it a World Series or bust for the Yankees?
So dramatic.
So dramatic.
Before I answer that, I mean, can we just let's marinate in that for a minute? And in that, it was just like, what, 2 months ago? It felt like it was 2 minutes ago, but it was like 2 months ago where, like, we were fielding calls and Yankee fans were calling in saying Cashman's got to go and Booney's got to go and they should try to trade Stanton and, push the reset button. And, I mean, like, it does. It feels like it was 2 weeks ago, but really it was about 2 months ago. And we were having a lot of media folk who cover the team, have their finger on the pulse of the team better than most, and they were all telling us that wasn't going to happen, that they were going to be active, that they were going to try to make some deals. Sure enough, they were all right. They did, and those deals obviously panned out, I think, better than expected. But just goes to show you, like, you know, you've got your perception, of the team in one day, and then, my goodness, like, you know, within a week, how things change. And same thing for the Mets. Same thing. I mean, but, you know, opposite direction. It's just, it really is pretty unbelievable. But to answer your question, is it World Series or bust? You know how I feel. I feel that a team that's going to win the World Series is a team that has at least two aces in its rotation. You know, I know Cashman values the lineup. Not that he values the lineup more than a rotation, but he's just focused on putting together, like, this unbelievable lineup, more so than this unbelievable rotation. I just don't know if this Yankees team is going to get the performance that it has from its rotation, and it's going in regard to what we've seen in the last 2 weeks, and it's going to need to throughout the postseason in order to win. I just don't know, Ty. That's my only question mark. That's my only concern.
Just a quick update. The Yankees, on the strength of a RBI single from Tyler Wade, now have a 1-0 lead as that game heads to the third inning. 1-0 Yankees over the Twins. Gerrit Cole on the mound for New York. Now, in that game yesterday, Luke Voit was sensational. He had four hits, including a home run. He has battled a lot of injuries this season, and when the Yankees go out there and acquire Anthony Rizzo at the trade deadline, you wonder, you know, what his playing time is going to look like, because, yes, he was phenomenal for them last year, led the majors in home runs, but Rizzo came over, he was performing well. So earlier this week, I know this sparked a little bit of controversy, but here was Luke Voit when asked about his playing time situation.
Yeah, you know, I'm fine. I feel like I'm hitting my stride, you know, after, you know, getting a week's worth of games under me. And, you know, I was top 10 MVP last year, and I've been a great player for this organization for the last 3 years. And, you know, I'm not going down. You know, I want to play. Obviously, I know it's going to be tougher with Rizzo, but, you know, I deserve to play just as much as he does. And, you know, I led the league in home runs last year, and I feel really good again. And, obviously, you know, the injury bug is a reason he's here, you know, because of me. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, I hope Booney can do whatever he can to, you know, try to get me some consistent at-bats.
So he was 4-for-5 last night, 4 RBIs. Aaron Boone was asked if there was a little extra motivation for Luke Voit.
He's a good player. I mean, and a good hitter. So, you know, and it's been, you know, he's He's lost a lot of at-bats dealing with different injuries this year, so I know that part's been frustrating for him. But, you know, when he's in the lineup, he's a really good hitter in this league. So, you know, whether it's – I'm sure everyone's going to draw every conclusion like everyone always does, that it's because of this, it's not because of that. He's a good hitter. He's a good player. And, you know, he's gotten some big hits for us here over the last week. And a big night tonight.
So that was last night. Again, the Yankees right now against a team, they just dominate every single year, whether it's the regular season or the playoffs. They're up 1-0 against the Twins. That game on FS1.
Well, you're the Yankee fan.
I am.
Right? Here's the thing. In the beginning of the season, I know we talked about this. You know, World Series or bust. In the beginning of the season, you were like, yeah, World Series or bust. And then that kind of fell by the wayside. But again, based on what we've seen the last few weeks and what this team has been able to do,
It has not changed. This season is always World Series or bust. But now we look at it differently because as you progress through a year, you take into account all the circumstances and you recalibrate your expectations. So when the Yankees at the All-Star break are 8 games back in the division, you know, 4 games back in the wild card, and they look like a team that just can't, you know, get over itself, then you wonder, you know, if they make a move or two, can you make the playoffs? And then once you arrive toward, yes, they're trending toward making the playoffs, you get excited, you gain more confidence. But it all goes back to how we entered the season, and that was the Yankees are the favorites to win the pennant. Every single year, if they don't win a championship, I mean, it's the mission statement. It's championship or bust. We're here to win championships. So, yes, regardless of where they were 2 months ago and how it looked, this team was always expected to be a contender. So now they're trending toward being just that. And if it doesn't end that way, I would say at the very least, you have to get to the World Series at the very least.
You have to get to the World Series. You know, I know you produce a lot of shows here. Do you feel give me a percentage based on the listening audience, Ty, that you feel like Yankee fans who feel the same way you do, that feel that it's World Series or bust?
I think most of the Yankee fans are on my side. That it's World Series.
I didn't know it was a side, but so you feel that the most of the Yankee
fans. Well, it's because you've just been so conditioned to feel that way.
Right.
Every single season, and this is no different. Now, this year is unique in a sense where how it started versus how you expected it to go, and now we're questioning the legitimacy of the manager. We're wondering if Cashman's carved out for this. Now, he's answered that bell, so it's a little bit of a different year, but once we get to the playoffs, think about it. Like, if the Yankees lose that wild card game, like, how much of it, like, how many fans out there are going to say, well, you know, you consider where we were at the All-Star break, at least we got to the playoffs. That's good enough. No one's going to sit there and say that. We're going to all go back to what we're conditioned to do, and that's to, at the end of the season, did the Yankees win the World Series? Is the answer to that question is no, that it's a disappointment.
But here again, here's the thing. And time again, we know this. Defense wins championships. Aces pitching wins World Series. And I'm
the rotation has been pretty good this year. Considering Tyon's been great.
But Nestor exactly, Cortez you've got guys that are overperforming.
Yeah.
You know, you've got my concern and my question is, will that type of performance continue in the postseason?
Well, you hope so. You do have guys who are overperforming, and I'm not going to be the Yankee fan who sits here today and says, "Well, you know, Kluber's on his way back, and Severino." No,
I don't think you could. No,
yeah,
you can't
hang
your hat on that.
You cannot do
right.
that. You can't. So right. you've got to me, like, all of that is gravy. If they can come back and have some type of an impact, awesome, incredible. I'm not banking on that. As presently constructed, do they have enough in that rotation to win a World Series? I mean, with Gerrit Cole being an ace and, you know, being one of the best pitchers in baseball, and with Tyon and Nestor Cortez Jr., as I mentioned, he's been performing pretty well. You know, Montgomery, I think they have enough arms to do it. The bullpen, to me, is going to be the biggest question. I'm not worried about the rotation right now. Getting out to that back end of the bullpen with Chapman performing the way that he has, you know, Britton last week told the manager he doesn't deserve to close which, I mean, you admire his, like, you admire his honesty, but that's not exactly going to strike any confidence if you're a Yankee fan. One of your best relievers is saying that.
And, you know, again, I had Christy Ackert on yesterday, who covers the Yankees for the Daily News. I filled in for Chris Carlin last night, and she brought up an interesting point, and that is, you know, this is a Yankees team that time and time again has been hit by COVID. And as we know, you know, you have the vaccine, doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. It keeps you out of the hospital, right? That's what the scientists say. That's what the research, that's kind of what we're experiencing right now. But it doesn't mean that you don't contract it. And so, you know, is how much of a concern is that, that the Yankees have been, you know, one of the teams in Major League Baseball that has been hit the hardest. So,
And that's something you can't expect. Like, those are the types of variables that you can't account for. You hope that you're able to get through it, and that if anyone does contract the virus, you pray that they're all well. Update on the Yankees, top of the third inning. They are up 1-0, and now that game heads to the bottom of the third inning. But that's all for the Yankees. As far as the New York Jets, who will be in action this afternoon, that game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Woo-hoo!
At 3 p.m. Tough blow this week. Tough blow. Is it the same old Jets, Anita?
Is it the same old Jets? No, it's not the same old Jets.
Well, for the past decade, more than a decade, they've searched for a pass rusher, and they finally got that guy this past offseason, Carl Lawson. They signed him to a 3-year, $45 million contract. He finished 7th in the NFL last year in sacks created by pass rush wins, 10.5. That's according to ESPN Stats and Info. But tough blow this week. We got the news that he suffered a torn Achilles, and if you're a Jet fan, you're thinking, oh, here we go again. Well, what's Rich Cimini thinking?
The ripple effects will be felt for a long time, because Achilles is the worst injury you could have, especially, I was texting with a former player yesterday, a defensive player, and said, especially for a speed rusher, his game is all about get-off. You know, he had one of the fastest get-offs in the NFL last year among edge rushers, and so you have to wonder, you know, how that will impact him even next season, if he'll be a little bit slower. And it's tough. I mean, this guy works like a maniac. He is a guy who's in the gym all the time. I mean, take one look at his upper body, and you'll know that. But this is a tough injury.
Tough injury. That was Cimini on KJZ. And look, I'm a Jet fan. A lot of the optimism emanated from the fan base didn't just come from the new quarterback. It was also about the idea that Robert Saleh could have his imprints all on this defense that was poised to, you know, help contribute to the growth of Zach Wilson. You know, short fields, getting him in position where he doesn't have to go 90 yards to get a touchdown and to get his team in position to score. So the defense was going to be huge. And now you lose a big piece here. That's a big loss for the Jets.
It is. It's a big hit. And listen, you know, Ty, you make an excellent point. And that is, you know, where Zach Wilson is going to field position, where his average start in regard to field position is going to be. You know, you don't want to put a young rookie that doesn't have that much experience, you know, where he's going to have to go 80 yards, you know, 80 yards. 75 yards the majority of the time. Yeah, you've got a great defense. What happens? You got a great defense. You got a great special teams. What happens now? You know, average starting field position for a lot of teams. You know, you're looking at 45, 50 yard line. That's what you want for the rookie. So yeah, you make an because what's going to happen is, you know, when Zach Wilson gets into those third and longs.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going up against, you know, defensive coordinators who are going to be disguising a lot of blitz packages. He's not going to know what's coming or going.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be converted. He's not going to be able to move those chains. And then what happens? Punt, 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 punt.
Yeah,
and then what happens? Then your defense gets tired.
Yep.
Because now your defense is out there for over 35 minutes. So, I mean, it's a great, great point made by you, for sure.
And not only is your defense getting tired, but now your defense feels like it has to make a play. So it's putting more pressure on itself. Maybe you see more blitzes, trying to force some action. And then all of a sudden you get beat for a big play. So it's a ripple effect. And if you're a Jet fan, it just, come on, every time you get excited about something, on comes the bad news. But we're looking forward to it. And I'm still excited about this season. Lastly, I want to end on this. The NBA released its full schedule yesterday. The Nets open with the league best 54.5 win total for the 2021-2022 season. Defending champion Bucks are next at 53.5 wins, while the Lakers, Sixers, and Jazz each opened at 51.5 per Caesars Sportsbook. The play-in tournament will be April 12th to the 15th. The playoffs begin on April 16th, and the NBA Finals scheduled to start on June 2nd. So the league now back on schedule. I found this pretty interesting, Anita. So the Knicks this year, 29 national TV games this upcoming season. That's the third most in the Eastern Conference, the fifth most in the league. And how about this for a stat? From 2014 to 2020, the Knicks, 21 national TV games. That six-year span, 21 national TV games. Next season alone, 29. So, I mean, Evan Fournier is exciting the masses. TNT and ESPN excited about good old Evan Fournier and the Knicks next year.
Yeah, listen, it's an exciting time. You know, I think that this next season is going to be, you know, a year very much like this past year, where this is a developing team, this is a new front office, new faces, new head coach, and a rebuilding year for the Knicks, not just on the court, but also their imaging and how they're perceived across the NBA with other players and agents and whatnot. So, I'm excited for the direction that this Knicks organization is going in. I really am. I know that there's a lot of hope and speculation that maybe they land Damian Lillard. I know that's been a conversation that we've had several times on the show. I think the ship is sailing in the right direction. You know, small victories improve every year, and the summer of 2022, or is it summer 2023? Right, where you've got, you know, you have quite a few enticing players that are going to be available in 2022, but you've got really the sky's the limit in regard to who becomes available in 2023.
So Stephen A. Smith this week was really excited on First Take. He says, New York, stand up. We're going to win a playoff series. Who am I to disagree with him? But I just don't know. Like, when you look at the top of the conference, the hierarchy, in any order would be Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and then pick the fourth team. You know, it could be Miami, Chicago, whoever. How are the Knicks beating any of those top four teams? So I don't know that they're going to win a first-round playoff series, but it is, there is going to be a lot of excitement headed into next year. You've got Kemba Walker. You've got year two of the resurgence of Julius Randle. It's year three of him on the team, but, you know, fresh off of the most improved player campaign. You've got RJ Barrett, his continued development. So a lot of intriguing storylines, reasons to be optimistic if you're a Knicks fan, and you're going to be all over national television. Speaking of the Nets, James Harden yesterday said, at full strength, nobody can beat us, he told Sports Illustrated. I'm just going to leave it at that. So Nets are confident. Knicks will be on TV a lot. It should be fun next year here in New York City for hoops action.
Listen, I agree. I agree with Harden. And I think you could say this for a lot of teams, right? If we stay healthy, but I think Harden's right. I mean, if they stay healthy, there's no better three in the NBA than them. So one more thing I do want to talk about. I know we're at the top of the hour, but you know I know you're a huge LeBron James fan, but the fact that not one of his peers voted him as the best player in NBA.
It was league executives, but here's the thing. So I don't know, and LeBron's got that.
Wait, it was lead executives and players as well, right? Or it was just executives?
I thought it was both. I thought it was just league execs.
Okay, well, I mean, even still.
But here's the thing, and LeBron's got a little bit of that MJ thing in him. Kobe was the same way. Brady's the same way. Where you just find things to motivate you. And it's not that you get bored, but you know, year 19 for LeBron James, it's all about winning championships. No one cares about the regular season. Like, yeah, he wants to win his fifth league MVP to continue to compile those accolades. But you got to find ways to motivate yourself during the regular season. And is it disrespectful to think that, you know, Durant and Giannis are the two best players in the NBA? No, absolutely not. The fact that LeBron is still in that conversation 19 years into the league at age 36 is, to me, an accomplishment all in itself. But if it were me, I'd say the three best players in the league are, in this order, Durant, LeBron, then Giannis. So I still think LeBron's second. I think Durant's the best player in the NBA, and he wouldn't have won a championship.
I just think the fact that he didn't get one vote.
Well, because you're giving it to the guy you think is the best. It's not like you're ranking them. You're saying who's the best player in the NBA.
I know, I get that. I'm a little taken back and surprised that he didn't get not one vote. That's all.
And it's how the season ended for him, because people like to have revisionist history, but before he got hurt with the ankle, he was, at worst, the second in the MVP vote. He gets hurt. He's never the same player. They get to the playoffs. His teammate gets hurt, and then the Lakers lose in the first round. I expect to see LeBron James 24-6-6 next year. Bare minimum.
We'll see. We'll see. Interesting.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Joe Wiz on 98.7 ESPN joins us now, brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com. Joe, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, Anita. You're at Liberty State Park. I'm at Monmouth Racetrack, and we're all having fun here just trying to avoid the hurricane.
Well, yeah, hurricane isn't going to be here until tomorrow, thank God.
It's starting to rain here at Monmouth. Ironically, there's a few showers here. Just giving you an updated weather forecast here at Monmouth. Already some showers already.
Well, hopefully that won't be the case here. I don't know. Now you got me looking around. we've got our engineer here. Joe's saying it's rainy. It's rain. Yeah, they. Yeah, thank you. You're scaring our engineer here, Joe. What are you doing? Right now the Buffalo Bills are up on the Bears. Trubisky, 16 of 22, 165 yards, a touchdown. Andy Dalton, 9 of 12, 127 yards and a touchdown. He came out this week and said he wishes the world for Justin Fields, but this is Andy Dalton time, and he's got a ball out. Buffalo's up 28-6. Interesting, Joe. You know, I've been playing the under across the board in all of preseason. Doesn't look like the under is going to hit here, does it?
No, you can't win every game. I know you've been doing very well with your preseason picks. And, you know, who expected a score like this in the second quarter of a preseason game? Buffalo Bills are just going through the motions. Dalton better keep his mouth shut, because chances are, if he continues to play the way he does, that Justin Fields may actually be the starter for the Chicago Bears for week one. But the totals in general, they're very low. And, you know, playing the unders is probably a safer bet than playing overs, despite this game going to be going over.
All right, well, you've got the Jets going up against the Green Bay Packers today at 4:30, which, by the way, coming your way at 3, we've got our Jets pregame show with Dan Grasso and Greg Buttle. Do you have a play in the Jets-Packers game? I like the under in that game. I'm hearing no Aaron Rodgers as well as no Jordan Love. So I'm going under there.
Yeah, when you take a look at it here, the Jets played fairly well. I mean, Zach Wilson, 6 of 9 for 63 yards last week against the Giants. It's one of the few times, it's the second week in a row, we've seen the Jets as a favorite. And it's going to, you know, come regular season, we won't see the Jets favored probably in any game. Yeah, we know that Rodgers isn't going to play. Jordan Love isn't going to play. And Green Bay, last year they were 13-3. But like I said, none of the starters there. Two quarterbacks they have going for today are Ben Kirk and Cake Dagala. So good luck with either one of those quarterbacks here. I think that Zach Wilson's going to play the whole first half. I think that the Jets, the line indicates the Jets, and I wouldn't be shocked if the total went under as well. But I'm going with the Jets a little bit here. If they play the way they did against the Giants last week, I think they'll win here, Anita. Green Bay is just looking to go through the motions in this game and has nothing to play for. The Jets may have some, they want to see Zach get some playing time.
Well, you've got a number of other games on later on tonight. Are there any that you're eyeing that you feel good about?
Well, basically with the preseason, like I said, look at some of the totals here. Pittsburgh Steelers are playing the Detroit Lions. The Steelers already have two wins under their belt in the preseason. Whenever I see these high spreads, I took a small play with the Lions at +7 in that game, and also with Seattle Seahawks. They're a home dog. They're getting 4.5. And again, you know, some of these starters aren't playing, but sometimes you have the second and third stringers. And you know, these players, these teams that are playing at home, like Seattle, getting the 4.5, I think that there's a shot for them to get the cover as well. Russell Wilson might see some playing time, not much. And again, I know you and I have talked about it every week. You know, just look at the depth charts and look who's battling for the quarterback position, and that's going to really determine how successful these teams are.
Again, Joe Wiz joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. He has his own gambling show on Friday nights and Sunday mornings. I know you're big. You're at Monmouth, but we've got two important races happening in Saratoga today, race 9 and race 10. Let's hear it for the ladies. Second go-around for a number of the fillies who race in the Kentucky Oaks. What's your play there? What are the races and the horses you like at Saratoga today?
Yeah, in race 10, the feature race here at Saratoga, the $600,000 Alabama, you got the odds-on favorite here with Malathat, who was, you know, had a 5-race unbeaten streak in the last race, was beaten by Maracuja. In this race here, I think Malathat's going to be tough to beat, but whenever I have a big favorite and eat it in a race, I always try and throw in some exotics. I threw in a couple of a little bit long shots here. Crazy Beautiful with Jose Ortiz and McPeak. That's the one horse. And I also have the 3-horse with Arad. It's very rare to see Arad at 6-1. And then the 7 has Army Wife. So my play in the Alabama, more of an exotic play, 1-3-6-7, because I think that Malathat's going to be tough to beat. The distance goes a little further. It's 1.25 miles. But I think with some of the, you know, if something goes wrong and you have an exact or a try, you might be able to get a good return on your investment. 1-3-6-7 exact to try box in the big race in the Alabama at Saratoga.
All right, before I let you go, there's also some Major League Baseball games happening today. Is there a game that you're eyeing?
Yeah, when you look at it here, we look at this big matchup here out on the West Coast. I mean, we can't really talk about the Mets because I know they get beat up every day on the New York airwaves, so there's not much to say about them. But a great matchup here. What else can we say about the Mets that anybody hasn't seen? So no one's talking about the Giants and Oakland A's. Perhaps we could see these two teams playing in the World Series. Stranger things have happened. But the Giants right now have the second-best road record in all of baseball. They've lost 2 in a row, which is very rare, Anita, considering that the Giants overall have the best record in all of Major League Baseball. And on the road, they are the only team that has a better road record is the Milwaukee Brewers. I like Gausman here with San Francisco. He's one of the 6 reasons why the Giants have been so successful this year. At a pick'em, Gausman 3-0 in his last 3 starts. Manea has been struggling a little bit, and the Giants do hit lefties, and Manea is a lefty. I like San Fran. Just at a pick'em here, go with the San Francisco Giants at a pick'em with the best team in baseball. I think you're getting value with that bet.
All right, Joe, enjoy your day at Monmouth. Appreciate your call, and good luck. Good luck.
You got it. Thanks very much.
Today. You got it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.